You are in a state of meditation, and within you the voice says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Suppose you heard this within, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's very unlikely that you would ever forget it. It is also very unlikely that you would disobey. You would know this is the voice of the Father within. I am being instructed from on high that the way to the kingdom of God on earth is to be receptive to the inner voice, to be obedient, not out of a sense of duty, not out of a sense of fear, but out of a sense of the rightness of it, of the love of truth, of the joy of being taught by the infinite. And you would say to yourself, what are the commandments that I am to follow? And because the voice which speaks within you always goes before you, it would present to you those commandments which you are to follow. It would further elaborate that all of the Bible speaks one message, to join you in conscious union with your own immortal spirit. That word, which is the word in the beginning with the Father, is your immortal spirit. And that's all the Bible has been trying to do for us. That's all those who have come to earth, Christed, aware, enlightened, have tried to do, to awaken us to the fact that our own immortal spirit is the key. No person, no idol, no outer teaching. All these may be ways to awaken you in some way to the presence of your own immortal spirit. And when you are awakened to it, you are ready to obey the commandments of your own spirit. You as a human being can never obey the commandments of Christ. And the only way you will obey them is to be united with your spirit, thus becoming the Son of Man instead of Son of Woman. And then as the Son of Man, one with the Eternal Spirit, the very spirit of your own being from the infinite flows through, guiding, leading, dissolving that remnant of human consciousness which still believes in a material world of material objects and material conditions which are not the Father's creation. And so we are opening ourselves to our own spirit, learning how it is to be in oneness with that which is everlasting. And as we begin to accept the challenge of obedience only to spirit, we walk in a different universe than the world around us. We may be seen in it. We may act in it. We may even be an effect in it. But something else is functioning in us and through us and as us that is unseen. It is that immortal spirit that we are. If you love me, your immortal spirit, obey my commandments. Your immortal spirit, which wrote the Bible, which functioned on earth as Christ Jesus, which functions on earth as your identity, must have commandments for you, or it would not instruct you to obey them. And you find that these commandments are not in yesterday. They are not only commandments issued on the earth in a previous era. The commandments of the immortal spirit are continuous, and they are within you now. To obey my commandments, then, is the call to withinness. It is the call of spirit to spirit saying, turn ye. And with joy, with anticipation, with a sure knowledge that I am not separated from you by space or time, that there is no distance between us, that I am a present spirit, a now spirit, a here spirit. It says, rest back on the sea of your own spirit. With confidence, with trust, with the awareness that this is the way. And you will receive my commandments. You will receive those secret impulses that come only to those who are listening, aware, not in a dream consciousness, but conscious that present where they are is the Spirit of God, now, always, without ceasing. And then you are lifting yourself out of the dream consciousness, reminding yourself that you are not a human consciousness, but where you are is your spiritual consciousness, present now, waiting to be obeyed, to be listened to be worshipped. And it's just like turning the channel of your TV set to another. No, I am not a creature consciousness. I am not a dream consciousness. I will listen to my immortal consciousness. You're in your overdrive. You're back where you belong, listening, ready, willing to be fed from within by my continuous commandments within you. And this is the call to withinness, which opens an infinite method of communication for infinite spirit, which indwells us all, to guide us in its own divine plan. In this oneness with the infinite, we are in conscious union with God. We are one with source. We are one with all cause. And we are one with all that is. As you touch God now, where you are, in consciousness, knowing that God is all, that God is infinite, you are touching all that God is everywhere. And in that oneness with God where you are now, you instantly are one with God everywhere. And you are in a position to obey the commandments of the Father. If God is not where you are, in your consciousness, you can never obey the divine commandments. You are separated. And you are unaware of God's presence. But if you love me, if you love the Father, if you love the Spirit, if you love the truth, if you love life, put yourself in the position of being conscious that God is where you are. And in that union, in that realization, all that God is everywhere is where you are. And wherever God is, you are. You are transplanted out of a dot, a point, a limited, finite area, a lacking, limited consciousness. And you are in the divine flow, the divine consciousness individualizing where you are, functions as your very selfhood, flowing, overflowing, and truth fulfills itself. You do not fulfill divine commandments as a mortal being in a human mind. It cannot be done. You cannot sit there and say, God, now you tell me and I will do it. The mortal consciousness must be dissolved in the knowledge that here is God, here is divinity, here is divine consciousness, and it is one with itself everywhere. No mortal consciousness is present. And then we need no word. All responsibility is gone from your mortal consciousness. You are not depending on it. You are letting the divine fulfill itself. You are letting the Father within actually perform, perfect, and do all that must be done. You are removing human will, human desire, human ambition, human fear, human doubt. You are removing humanhood in all its completeness and in all its incompleteness. You are accepting your own immortal spirit as identity. Immortal spirit is the only one who fulfills the commands of immortal spirit. You can only fulfill the words of Christ by being Christ. And therefore, in order to fulfill the words of Christ, you are forced to that position where, having failed to fulfill those words, you finally come to the only place where you can fulfill them. The Christ that must fulfill these words, I am. You are joined with your immortal spirit forever. For this is the meaning of grace and life eternal. We seek Christ as the identity of all. We know the immortal spirit stands where the form seems to be. And therefore, in the obeying of the commandment, acknowledge me in all thy ways, in the obeying of the commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself, we never deny the immortal spirit as the presence where the form appears to be. There stands the immortal spirit invisible where the form appears to be. Here, where I stand, is the immortal spirit where the form appears to be. The allness of spirit is the command of acknowledge me in all thy ways, and therefore to fulfill that command, you must acknowledge the allness of spirit everywhere. When you are not acknowledging the allness of spirit everywhere, you are crucifying God. You are crucifying spirit in your consciousness. You can only acknowledge the presence of spirit or you crucify its presence. That means there is no second presence. We are training ourselves to live in the conscious awareness of the presence of spirit. And to further comply with the statement, if you love me, obey my commandments, we know that every time we accept a condition that is not present in spirit, we are denying the presence of spirit. When you accept an imperfection, because there is no imperfection in spirit, you are saying that spirit is not present. Every form of imperfection, every fear, every quiver of doubt, every concern, every limitation, every lack is a denial that spirit is present. And so we can never accept in consciousness the lacks, the limitations, the imperfections. We cannot even accept fulfillment in time. Spirit is already fulfilled. We must accept I am already fulfilled, because that is the acceptance of spiritual identity. The appearance may not show it, but the appearance is not what we judge by. My immortal spirit is fulfilled and self-fulfilling. And in the acceptance of it, I accept that I am now self-fulfilled. I cannot have lingering beliefs in lack or limitation while I am accepting spiritual identity. And you continue in this vein, knowing that whatever you seem to need, every need that you have, is a denial of spiritual identity. You have no need. The you that has a need is the dream consciousness. And therefore, whenever you have a need, it is a sign that you are not in spiritual identity. What can spirit need if spirit is all? You can go a step further, and an important step. Whenever you feel a need, it is time to realize that this which needs is not myself. Whatever needs is not me. Whatever lacks is not me. Whatever is limited is not me. Whatever is imperfect is not me. Whatever is faulty or defective is not me. And as you know, that these imperfections, lacks, and limitations are not you, and are not part of your being, you are again obeying the commandment of loving the Spirit of God beyond all else. Loving God supremely. Not crucifying God while you declare you lack and you are limited. Because the you who lacks is never you. Every error, every evil, every problem, every suffering, every pain does not occur ever in you. And when you step out of that false you which experiences these things, you are obeying again that commandment, if you love me, obey my commandments. You are upholding the one true eternal spirit as the only. And when you do, and especially those who have had the experience of doing so, know there is a moment of truth testing when the very Christ in you walks out testing the very truth that is spoken through you, confirming to you that what it is said is the truth. That when you accept no power, because only spirit is power, you discover the truth that there is no power but your own immortal spirit. You discover, too, that you are self-complete. Your spirit being all. Your spirit embodying all that spirit is. All that you need is present in your spiritual self. The moment you declare a need, you are declaring your incompleteness, and you are declaring your unspiritual identity. And so we begin to be very careful of what we accept in consciousness. The acceptance of that which is not myself is the way I deny what I am. These are some of the ways that we learn to love the Father. You can see that it is a complete denial of personal sense, or it is a denial of spiritual identity. We're not trying to ride both horses. Now, in your silence, you may have discovered that you are not able to really attain the right quality of silence. And that is because the mission of Christ is to enable us to break through the world mind. And while you're being silent, the world mind is not being silent. And there is this inner conflict between the world mind and your attempt at silence. And although you may have a high state of mental discipline and a strong human will and a great idea of being dedicated, you cannot humanly break the world mind. Only the advent of Christ in you, the light, breaks the darkness. And therefore the silence, which is only a stillness of your mind to some degree, may not penetrate deeply enough to release in you the light of Christ. That light which alone breaks the world mind, and you may find your silence not productive. But you can release the light of Christ through silence when you are consciously practicing the presence of Christ everywhere. If you have not practiced I Christ everywhere, you do not have the leverage in that silence. Now last week, last Sunday, we had a little exercise which those who were present learned to practice this week, and it was quite unusual. I here am the life of that one there. I am the identity of that one there. And that one isn't there, because I, the Spirit of God, is there, and that is my name. And so we practiced this week. We took one individual, we took a loved one, and we rested in the knowledge that I am the identity of that person there, which happens to either be my husband or my wife or my child or my mother, but they are not there. The immortal spirit is there, and that immortal spirit I am. And we live with that. Some of us tried it for 3 hours. Now, when you have attained a measure of awareness out of that, you can quickly see that this is the truth that exists where you are for every individual on the earth. There is no individual on the earth who is not the immortal spirit of you. And until you are aware of that, until you have practiced the contemplation of that, until you have lived with that, your silence doesn't deepen enough to permit the advent of the Christ. You see, a human being silent is just a physical exercise. But when you are aware that your immortal spirit being everywhere is all there is, and that it's never divided from itself, that it is the spirit of everyone who walks the earth, then you come full circle to the fact that wherever there is a form, it is I invisible. Every form you see is you. There's not a form on this earth that is not your invisible self. God is the substance of every form. God is your immortal spirit. Your immortal spirit is the substance of every form. And when you are not practicing the knowledge that wherever form appears, your immortal spirit is there, you are not loving God supremely, and you are not obeying God's commandments. And so this becomes a very urgent practice. Yes, I see that person there, but it is not a person. It is my immortal spirit. And now I cannot treat that person as a person. It is my immortal spirit. I cannot judge that person. I cannot condemn. I cannot in any way slur that individual. Why? Because that individual isn't there. My invisible self is there, the immortal spirit of God. Because God is all there is. The allness of spirit is what I am upholding. I am upholding my own spiritual identity there as well as here. And when you do this, you begin to get your leverage. It doesn't matter who that individual is, a loved one or an enemy, friend or foe, Greek or Jew, white or black, Democrat or Republican, priest or rabbi, fool or genius, there, invisible, is your immortal spirit, and you make no differentiation. And when you learn this and live with this, the Spirit of God that you recognize there recognizes you. Then your silence is an infinite silence. It is a silence of spirit, not just trying to black out a human mind. It's a silence of light. You're in your holy mountain. You can be told your everlasting name. You can go from glory to glory because you are in the One. You are in conscious union with the One. The everywhere One is your name. The whole Bible is in this verse, if you love me, obey my commandments. And the whole Bible is in us. So this week we have another exercise. As you have been able to practice for 3 hours, that you are the identity of this loved one you worked on this week, now see that every form everywhere is your invisible identity. And don't be fooled by that form, even if it seems to, in some way, be unfriendly toward you. You'll find it has many tricks to fool you, to make you think that you are not there invisibly where it appears. And if you can overcome the deception simply by faith in the Word, you will be lifted higher, and you will be lifted above the deception. And you will discover that your identity, where that form appears, begins to exert an invisible influence, a subtle emanating activity. It begins to bring the divine influence to bear, not through your effort, not through your will, but simply through your recognition. We never make an effort to influence the Spirit in any way. We do not even ask the Spirit to make us a demonstration or to give us a desired manifestation. We rest in the knowledge of unbroken Spirit everywhere as my identity. Everywhere you go, your Spirit is. And only your Spirit is there. Your Spirit is the one inhabitant of the universe. Find a second, and you will be separated from your own spirit. Now, this is the one spiritual identity that we learn to accept for ourselves, and we know it to be the identity of everyone who walks the earth. Every flea, every fly, every animal, every bird. It is the identity behind all that appears in this world. Who was your father on this earth? Your own self. Who was your mother on this earth? Your own self. Who are your children on this earth? Your own self. There is only one self. You were all your own ancestors. You are all there is, and you must know it. Only the one infinite spirit is, and that is yourself. As you practice this knowingly, meeting yourself everywhere, you will find the power, and it will flow. And it will change your life into the divine image and likeness expressing. Every imperfection that you find is a lie. It is a denial of your identity, of your spiritual infinite being. Do not accept it as the truth of yourself. Rather than get rid of the imperfection, know that the self having such an imperfection is not you, and you're well on your way to finding it dissolved. That self is never you who is imperfect. Do not accept such a self. If you love the Spirit of God, accept no other identity. For the Son of God is the Spirit of God. You may find you can easily rest in your divine consciousness. There are moments when it's so clear, so easy, and you know you're there. And you can quickly snap out that human consciousness that tries to creep in. And then the flow is open. Omniscience is working full time. The power is there. The power of maintaining its own perfection is ever present. Just as long as you're not on the floor, but up on the ceiling, up in the high mountaintop of your own consciousness, in the upper firmament of consciousness, just resting confidently that the Father is doing the Father's job in his own spirit, your spirit. This is an inner baptism, a continuous one. And the more faithful we are to it, the higher the revelation that flows through us. The more we are lifted, the more is dissolved of the remnants of the human. Light replaces the unenlightened darkness of the old consciousness. The miracle of his presence transforms us. We find that we have no fear. Or if momentarily we succumb to fear, we quickly can know the truth that fear is not part of my being. That being which fears is not me. That is not me at all. And I step out of the false self. A need creeps up. Quickly you recognize, but Spirit is my name, and Spirit has no need. Spirit is the fullness of God now. Therefore, that need is trying to make me accept a false sense of self. There is no me to need. I am the child of God, the Spirit, the immortal, the now of God. I'm not in that which expresses a need. I am self-fulfilling perpetual. I'm back where I belong in self, one with spirit. I'm in the source, in the cause, and that cause being spirit, it must manifest perfection. There's no other me here. The human creature image ceases to have the magnetism to draw us into it as an accepted self. We begin to feel ourselves more as a living consciousness instead of a form, instead of a finite body. We feel our own conscious oneness with the infinite, and we have a new intuitive sense of life into which things can flow from within. Into the without, manifesting, taking form. And the forms that this innerness takes conform to the new enlightened realization within. They are Christed forms. They carry with them their own fulfillment, their own grace. They go before everything we do. They are magically sustained from the invisible. The Christ which says, if you believe on me, if you love me, obey my commandments, is taking us out of mortal, dying consciousness. It is revealing the immortal consciousness of God where we stand. It is fulfilling its mission every moment. It is dissolving the dream of lack, limitation, mortality, disability. It is revealing that where his presence is realized, his qualities are manifest. Where you are is God. Be aware that God is where you are is the key to the kingdom. To be aware that God will always be where you are, and that wherever you go, God will always be. I give you the keys to the kingdom. I, your immortal spirit, tell you that I am always where you are. And if you love me, you will know this. You will be aware that I, your immortal spirit, is always present everywhere. Until the false film of materialism no longer can trick you. Joel tells us that we can, through our ignorance or through our enlightenment, release the forces that curse us or bless us. Our ignorance of the presence of my own immortal spirit releases the forces that curse me. My awareness of the presence of my own immortal spirit releases the forces that bless me. How beautiful to know that if you are conscious that your spirit is present, you release the forces that bless you. And so, with your exercise to know that your spirit is where every form appears, you learn that wherever you go, there's no one there but your spirit. And this is the God awareness which releases the forces that bless you. Until all that functions in your life is divinity expressing, immortal spirit living your life. Is it within reach of us? It's more than that. It's inevitable. You cannot stop it. The moment you are touched by the knowledge of it, it is yours forever. And you will not rest until you have attained it, because once you know it is attainable, it is because Christ has touched you. Christ has opened your eyes. And Christ says, it is attainable. It is already attained. And the attaining is merely coming into the realization of that which already is. And I, says the Christ within, I will pray the Father, and it shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. If you love me, obey my commandments. And if you obey my commandments, I will pray the Father. And he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Another comforter, who will abide with you forever. The disciples had more or less accepted Jesus as their comforter. Their first comforter was external to their being. They saw Jesus, but did not really see who was there. They heard Jesus, but did not hear who was there. They knew him, but did not know him. They had what they thought was their comforter. Just as many of us have accepted external teachers, external authorities. Yes, they are perhaps our first comforters. But the Spirit says, no. I will pray unto the Father. And this praying unto the Father is just another word for you when you are in a state of awareness of identity. Christ in you is one with the Father. And that conscious oneness with the Father is all that prayer really is. When you are in conscious oneness with God, you're in prayer. I, the Christ, the Spirit, one with the Father, I am a perpetual state of prayer. That is a state of consciousness called conscious union. I pray unto the Father. As you dissolve your dependence on the external dollar, the external form of power, the external material aid, the external help from outside of your being, you are looking to a higher power, a power called the withinness of your own being, self-power. And you are finding another comforter. This comforter who will be with you forever. This comforter is identity. This comforter is immortal spirit. This comforter is Son of God. This comforter is Christ. And so the Master within, appearing as the Master without, teaches us that we must now come to the point of walking in conscious awareness of the inner spiritual self. The new comforter is your own being realized. The highest aspect of the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, identity, infinite spiritual identity accepted. Everywhere is myself. Not even Jesus can take you to heaven. No individual on the earth. Heaven is the Comforter within. And when you have been willing to test the outer words by living in the within, not accepting the limitations of the without as part of being. You're turning your life over to the inner self, the new comforter, the awareness that I can never be less than the immortal spirit. Nothing can make me less. Every claim that says I am not the immortal spirit is a lie. This acceptance becomes a living light turning from the without, even from Jesus. No, he says, you cannot come into heaven through Jesus. I pray unto the Father, and he will send you a new comforter. You cannot come in through Jesus. You must come in through Christ within yourself. That is your new comforter. Your own selfhood realized. And that selfhood will be with you forever because it is your eternal self. Your eternal self is the only comforter acceptable unto the Father. To be lived in, to be trusted, to be accepted as the only you that ever will be. And then you know you are the eternal life of God. You are no other. You are no second. You are that eternal life ever expressing. And all that denies it now is a lie. All that ever denied it was untrue. The Christ is opening the way to Christ. The one infinite source is functioning our being now perfectly. The mind that does not know this perfection has no existence. It is a counterfeit, pretender, with no validity whatsoever. The mind that does not know perfection is a mind that does not exist. It is a false mind of the world, expressing as the false mind of the individual. There is no such mind. There is no mind that can know imperfection. That mind which knows imperfection is not the divine mind and therefore has no existence, and you can look at it and say, who convinceth me of imperfection? Only spirit, only the mind of spirit is present. That is your mind. And you can rest in it confidently because where God is, the mind of God is. Where God is, the power of God is being the power of God. The mind of God can only be present where you are. No other mind is present. The power of God can only be present where you are. No other power can ever be present. And only the qualities of God can be present. So the Master always says, fear not, fear not. The qualities of God are present, the power of God, the love of God, the very presence of God. Immortal Spirit is your name, and it is God itself. Your immortal spirit is God. God is your immortal spirit. And so I am the Father, and the Father in me. At all odds, we defend this identity against every appearance the world can throw at us. Because that's all these appearances are for, to force us to accept our true identity or to reject it. Every appearance is saying to you, you are not the identity that God tells you you are. And God is saying, I tell you who you are, and I expect you to look at these appearances and accept my word. If you love me, obey my commandments. My commandment is that you are my immortal spirit. You cannot be another. Every appearance in the world has been lying to us, making us, through the world mind in us, deny the commandments of the Father. But you will notice that you have changed. You have grown aware. You have become spiritually knowledgeable. You are seeing through the deceit of the world mind. And only Christ in you can do that. And that is a sign to you that Christ in you has been lifted up. The fact that you can see through the deception of the world mind is evidence of the presence of a consciousness of Christ. And the more this consciousness is lifted, the more the revelation intensifies, further dissolving the power that the world mind assumes in our human sense of life. I pray unto the Father. He will send you a new comforter. This new comforter is the raising of Christ within you until the exultant self within proclaims, I am come. I am the self. I am all there is of you. Christ infinite, spirit immortal. And the inner lifeline of omnipotence is established. There's no break. There's no missing link. Omnipotence is established as the nature of being, where you are. The world of matter loses its dominion. Grace replaces the law of matter. Karma is no more. There's nothing to expiate anymore. Karma becomes simply that residue of human consciousness which no longer exists. There's no karma in the immortal spirit of God. We don't have to live another 30 lifetimes to pay our karmic debts. Now, let us once again establish that between you and God there is no distance, in space or in time. Never feel that between you and God there is space or time, because there never can be in the omnipresence of Spirit. The Spirit of God, which is where you are now, is never separated from you. It is your being. The word G-O-D, God, the word Spirit, are one and the same. Where you are is God, where you are is Spirit. God is that Spirit. That Spirit is your being. And the word S-E-L-F is your Spirit, yourself, and that is the only God there is. Outside of yourself, there is no God. Your spiritual self and God are one and the same. That is why the grace of your own self realized is your sufficiency in all things. Now we are not separate from each other because we are the self. And it matters not what forms you see, they are yourself. And that self where the forms appear is the same self where you appear. But you are the self and not the form, just as they are the self and not the form. And therefore you are one everywhere. You are unseparated being. There is no individual on this earth from whom you can ever be separated. And if you think you are losing spiritual selfhood. You are becoming barren. Now, do not misunderstand. If a form is doing what people call something good, or if a form is doing what people call bad, you must know that neither the good nor the bad are happening. No form does good and no form does bad. because only your spiritual self is present. The Father's kingdom is never of this world. We're not trying to make the good of the kingdom spill over into this world. Don't fall into that trap. We're trying to live in the spiritual kingdom. We're trying to have that vision of the Christ which can see what is happening in the spiritual kingdom. We're not trying to look for visible manifestation in the world. We want to see what is happening in reality. We want to experience what is happening in reality. We are not trying to transform this world into a better world. We are trying to live in the kingdom of God where the world seems to be. And for a while it may seem as if you're trying to make this a better world. But you're not trying to heal that which is not there. You're not trying to improve an illusion. You're resting in the Spirit of God that it may manifest its spiritual kingdom, which is not of this world, that you may awaken in that kingdom, literally, not in this world, that you make transition to that kingdom, which is not of this world. You see what we're doing? You see what we must learn to do? And every time we try to bring something of the Spirit into this world, we're accepting that there is a world here, when you must learn to accept that only the immortal Spirit is here. You can even, while trying to do good, step out of spiritual identity and lose that which you are seeking to attain. You will know when you are walking in the spiritual kingdom. And you will know that it is not this world. And every moment that you find yourself led closer and closer to that which is the kingdom, be sure of this: when you are conscious, but for a moment, that you are walking in the invisible kingdom of God, you have ensured your transition. The moment you have touched the invisible kingdom of God in your consciousness, your transition is assured. For you, the world will slowly dissolve, and the kingdom will take its place. If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will pray unto the Father. And he will send you a new comforter who will be with you forever. Those meaningful words, active in your consciousness, accepted with reverence and devotion, with fidelity, should be your spur and your reward. They are the gift of God to everyone who has an inner ear. And the very heart of us will bring into remembrance the truth of those words as we proceed along that path so designated by the inner Spirit. For he who has spoken to us is the voice of God within us. The only voice we learn we can trust. All else is of the dream world. And only the voice of the Father within you, leading you through your own Christhood to himself, can lead you into his kingdom where you stand. Now then, are you receiving the Comforter? Are you accepting the Comforter? Are you aware that only the Comforter will do? The Comforter can be only the one authority without opposite. Only the Comforter is the way, the life, the truth, the resurrection, the everlasting self. And whatever you do to accept, receive, and live in the Comforter, as the Comforter, is the way. Without the Comforter, we are blind. Without the Comforter, we are dead, walking images. With the Comforter, we are sons of God, living in the Father, divinely inspired, divinely maintained, eternally. This is the promise of the Christ. When we accept that promise, we have no other path but to find the Comforter who will be with us forever.